Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
And welcome back to the Monday edition of Today's Issues. Fred Jackson, Walker Wildman, sitting in for Tim and Ed and Abe and all the other voices that you hear on a daily basis here on Today's Issues. As we've been mentioning, our team is going to be in Orlando this week, where the annual National Religious Broadcasters Convention is being held. For the last, I think, 10 years, that convention has been held in Nashville. And usually that week of NRB was one of the nastiest weeks weather-wise up in Nashville. It usually snowed or rain or whatever. Now, it's kind of nice. It's in the big hotel there.
Yeah,
and Peabody,
I believe.
Yeah.
No, that's in Memphis. The Opryland
place. And of course, once you enter that monstrosity of a complex, you never have to leave for a week.
Right.
Because there's everything underneath there. But this time, they decided to go down to Orlando, which, if you're trying to get away from winter weather, that's not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
Down there. They've been having a pretty good winter down there, too. So we'll be down there. Our team, Dan Celia, I know, will be coming from there tomorrow. And Janet Medford, I believe, is there, and Sandy Rios is there.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a great team of folks that are going to be down there. And Steve Jordahl from the newsroom is there because there's a lot of interesting stories coming out of NRB. Through the years, that's a convention that has also grown. And as we mentioned in the last hour, your granddad, Walker, mm-hmm. will be given a special honor on Thursday night. And that's really exciting.
He will. And one other note I want to mention is in April 4th through 6th is our share-a-thon, our spring share-a-thon mm-hmm. here, where we ask our listeners, our supporters, to partner financially with us so we can continue the mission of American Family Association and American Family Radio. And we need listener testimonies to play during that share-a-thon. We need people who have been impacted by the work of American Family Radio to call in and share their stories so we can share your testimony with other people. And here's the number if you want to call in and give your listener testimony of how American Family Radio has impacted your life or your family. The phone number is 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893. And we would love to have your listener testimony for our spring share-a-thon.
You know, it's some of the most interesting moments during share-a-thon is when those testimonies are played.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get to hear, as staff members, but also our audience gets to hear those untold stories.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we sit in studios with microphones, and yes, something, you know, sometimes we open up our lines and we hear from listeners, but so many times the stories have to do with people who were going through difficult times. Maybe they lost a loved one, maybe difficulties in their marriage and family life, whatever the case may be. And their testimonies are just at that moment
mm-hmm.
on American Family Radio, I heard something that got me the bridge over
right.
that difficult time. Or, you know, they just have to be driving along and they tell us how they came upon American Family Radio. They're driving
yeah.
along and they're just pressing buttons in that car radio and all of a sudden it comes up on American Family Radio. And many times they'll say, you know, I have never stopped listening since then. So
yeah.
the stories are just really pull you in.
It's very encouraging because, as you know, the employees here at AFA, you know, we work 200 something odd days a week, days a year, and we don't get to see the impact of our work
yeah.
very often. But share-a-thon, I think it's encouraging for us
absolutely.
Just as much as it is for our listeners because, mm-hmm. like you said, we get to listen to the testimonies and the impact that God is using American Family Radio for, and we get to hear it on a personal level through these listener testimones. And
it's exciting. What are the dates again?
April 4th through the 6th.
That's coming up pretty soon.
It'll be here before we know it.
This year is flying by. Well, President Trump is busy these days. We've been talking. He's had meetings this morning with insurance company people, health insurance company people. He's been meeting with governors of states that want to have a say in the remake of health care in this country. But also, President Trump is someone who can work with so many different irons in the fire all at once. One of the stories this morning is budget cuts that are coming. If you work for the Environmental Protection Agency, probably your budget's going to be cut, a few of the other departments. But the good news for our military people who we love here, that the president is seeking, this report says, a $54 billion increase in defense spending. And as I say, cuts are coming elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be watching for that. That's one of the big issues that's coming up now that Congress is back from their break, that they're going to be getting into this. And once they get through, the Senate gets through all of these hearings so that the president gets his cabinet all in place, it's absolutely amazing. You may have forgotten that Dr. Ben Carson has not been approved yet.
No.
For Health and Human Services or Housing?
HUD.
And then Energy Secretary, the former governor.
Rick Perry.
The nomination happened so long ago, we've kind of forgotten, but these folks have not been dealt with yet.
No.
It's amazing.
This is the longest in this country's history. This is the longest time it's taken for the president to have his cabinet appointed.
Yeah. So they're going back to that, and then there's the nominee for the Supreme Court. And so there's just a lot to be done. But talking to people who deal with President Trump on a day-by-day basis, they say, 3 or 4 hours sleep a night, and he's just going and going. And you better be ready to keep up with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's just that kind of busy CEO. Now, one other announcement from the White House. Maybe we better not be surprised by this. President Trump says he's not going to go to the White House Correspondents' Dinner on Saturday night. There's a shock for you.
Yeah, this was an interesting scenario because half of the people or more, probably 75 or 80% of the individuals, the correspondents that would be at that dinner, have been blasting. They probably wouldn't have any people attend for the most part. Only maybe some of your conservative outlets attend. But it would be an awkward scenario because Trump doesn't like the mainstream media. The mainstream media vehemently hates Trump, the president.
Mm-hmm.
And so why even have this dinner and try to act like we're all buds when we're not?
No, and that's the reason I understand that he's giving for the most part is that it would be nonsense.
It would be very fake and insincere.
Yeah, and he's busy doing other things. He actually works on the weekend, too.
Yeah.
So he will not be going to the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
What's the feel amongst the news outlets who would maybe go to that? I mean, is there complaints?
Nah, listen, they'll still make the jokes about President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama loved going to this. I mean, it was a love fest.
He was at home there.
Yeah, it was a love fest. For the most part, the mainstream media lapdogs, as far as President Obama went. But it's been very adversarial with President Trump. And so he's just decided, he's either going to take some time with his family or he's just going to stay working there at the White House or the Southern White House down in Florida this weekend. Well, one of the stories that's been in the news over the last several days, last week, Vice President Pence went to a Jewish cemetery in the St. Louis area that had been vandalized. And now there's another story this morning that another Jewish cemetery, this one in Philadelphia, has also been vandalized.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes to, I tell you folks, a very serious story going on in our country. We've seen it on college campuses. The rise in anti-Semitism has just been absolutely incredible. Another story that's developed related to all of this is that the new the United States Secretary of the United Nations, of course, is former governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley.
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful pick she is turning out to be for that job. Because we know what happened under John Kerry as Secretary of State is that in the last days of the Obama administration, basically they showed their cards when it comes to Middle East policy.
Mm-hmm.
The Obama administration came down hard against Israel for the first time in a Security Council vote, voted against Israel. It was one of the most shameful things that we have ever seen and happening right at the last, blaming Israel and you know, Obama didn't get his way. He thought he was going to bring oil peace in the Middle East by basically trying to force Israel into it. Then there was that disastrous deal with Iran. And so there was no question about the tension between Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Obama was very, very vivid.
Mm-hmm.
So now Ambassador Nikki Haley last week went to her first meeting of the Security Council, United Nations Security Council. Now, the United Nations Security Council has some permanent members like the United States, China, Russia, I think are the three permanent members. But then what has been shocking so many times is terrorist-sponsoring nations, terrorist-friendly nations, get named to the United Nations Security Council. It's absolutely insane. When Prime Minister Netanyahu addressed the United Nations last year, he called them out. Why is it that you spend so much time condemning Israel and not so much time on condemning the real causes of problems in the Middle East? And those are the terrorist nations, the terrorist sponsoring nations. Mm-hmm. Well, Ambassador Nikki Haley came out of her first meeting with the Security Council, and I want you to listen to what she had to say coming out of that meeting.
So the first thing I want to do is talk about what we just saw in there. The Security Council just finished its regular monthly meeting on Middle East issues. It's the first meeting like that that I've attended, and I have to say it was a bit strange. The Security Council is supposed to discuss how to maintain international peace and security. But at our meeting on the Middle East, the discussion was not about Hezbollah's illegal buildup of rockets in Lebanon. It was not about the money and weapons Iran provides to terrorists. It was not about how we defeat ISIS. It was not about how we hold Bashar al-Assad accountable for the slaughter of hundreds and thousands of civilians. No, instead the meeting focused on criticizing Israel, the one true democracy in the Middle East. I am new around here, but I understand that's how the council has operated month after month for decades. I'm here to say the United States will not turn a blind eye to this anymore. I am here to underscore the ironclad support of the United States for Israel. I'm here to emphasize the United States is determined to stand up to the UN's anti-Israel bias. We will never repeat the terrible mistake of Resolution 2334 and allow one-sided Security Council resolutions to condemn Israel. Instead, we will push for action on the real threats we face in the Middle East. We stand for peace. We support a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that is negotiated directly between the two parties, as President Trump reiterated in his meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday. The outrageously biased resolutions from the Security Council and the General Assembly only make peace harder to attain by discouraging one of the parties from going to the negotiating table. Incredibly, the UN Department of Political Affairs has an entire division devoted to Palestinian affairs. Imagine that. There is no division devoted to illegal missile launches from North Korea. There is no division devoted to the world's number one state sponsor of terror, Iran. The prejudiced approach to Israeli-Palestinian issues does the peace process no favors. And it bears no relationship to the reality of the world around us. The double standards are breathtaking. Just a few days ago, the United States sought, unsuccessfully, to have the Security Council condemn a terrorist attack to Israel, where the terrorists opened fire on people waiting for a bus and then stabbed others. The Security Council would not hesitate to condemn an attack like that in any other country, but not for Israel. The statement was blocked, and that's downright shameful. Israel exists in a region where others call for its complete destruction, and in a world where anti-Semitism is on the rise. These are threats that we should discuss at the United Nations as we continue working toward a comprehensive agreement that would end the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But outside of the UN, there is some good news. Israel's place in the world is changing. Israel is building up new diplomatic relationships. More and more countries recognize how much Israel contributes to the world. They are recognizing that Israel is a beacon of stability in a troubled region, and that Israel is at the forefront of innovation, entrepreneurship, and technological discovery. It is the UN's anti-Israel bias that is long overdue for change. The United States will not hesitate to speak out against these biases in defense of our friend and ally, Israel.
What a breath of fresh air.
Well, I'm not sure what her message was. No, I'm joking. That was encouraging.
That was so powerful.
Yeah.
That is, in just in case you just joined us and wonder who that voice was, that is our new ambassador to the United Nations, former governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, and for our listeners, Walker, I think we have to give a little bit of background to all of this. She said it. This has been going on for years mm-hmm. at the United Nations. Israel is the only true democracy in that part of the world.
Right.
It is a tiny postage stamp of a nation. I think people say it's smaller than Rhode Island.
Right.
And there are places where Israel now, because it's been picked apart, is only 8 or 9 miles wide.
Mm-hmm.
Stop and think about that for a moment, folks. But you look at the mainstream media, you look at the United Nations,
mm-hmm.
you look at various political leaders around the world, and you would think Israel is the bad guy on the spot there.
Yeah.
You would think Israel is the troublemaker. All Israel has done, especially since it came back into being in 1948, it's defended itself. It's never started
right.
a war. It has defended itself against its enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the turning points, because we know, scripturally speaking, from Genesis, is that God's blessing is going to be upon nations that bless Israel, mm-hmm. and his curse will be upon nations that curse Israel.
Yeah.
And so, you know, many Christians, evangelical Christians in particular, which have been staunch supporters of Israel through the years, whether it's Baptists or Assemblies of God and others that are out there, they have always said and warned successive administrations, you better be on Israel's side.
Right.
Because many people have credited our support for Israel with God's blessing upon this nation.
Mm-hmm.
This nation played a key role in Israel coming back into being in 1948, President Truman. It was because of his signature that
right.
this really happened in 1948. And somebody was pointing out yesterday, I was talking to them, that it's very interesting when President Truman, before he came into the Oval Office, he had a business, and his partner was a Jewish man. And maybe that is, in God's providence, allowed him to favor Israel. But the Obama administration, very hostile, the relationship with Prime Minister Netanyahu, between Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Obama, was very, very negative.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a new day. Along with the saying now, there's a new sheriff at the White House, there is a new voice now at the United Nations that's going to stand up
mm-hmm.
and not put up with this nonsense. And Ambassador Nikki Haley put those members of the Security Council, put other members of the United Nations on notice with that speech that she is not going to put up with it, and her boss, President Trump, is not going to put up with any nonsense.
What you have there essentially is the conflict here is Israel is not, despite popular belief, Israel is not the offender. Israel does nothing. They just exist. They operate their own state. And the Palestinians and other Middle Eastern countries, they hate Israel simply because they exist, and they're not afraid to say that. And so we have to keep it at the forefront here that Israel is the innocent. The offender is the Middle Eastern countries that are full of hate, that hate Israel just because of the Jewish people and their existence. And I think it's encouraging and much needed for the United States and specifically the ambassador, Nikki Haley, to the UN to stand on the side of Israel. And the Security Council that passed the resolution before President Obama left office, I believe most of the members on that Security Council are from Muslim countries,
mm-hmm.
Muslim Middle Eastern countries, and they hate Israel. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a push from the Republicans to pull funding from the UN in the next budget bill.
Well, I think what you're also going to see is, at the very least, a modification of the deal that President Obama made with Iran, which, as President Trump has pointed out, was just an unbelievably ridiculous deal. This is a nation, and this just in the last week or 10 days, one of the main clerics in Iran declared once again that they want Israel wiped off the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. Is it any wonder why Prime Minister Netanyahu was so critical of the Obama administration for making a deal? These aren't people you can trust.
Right.
These are not people that you can trust.
No.
Lying is an industry with them.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they do. This right. is how they exist. And Iran, everybody acknowledges, even liberals acknowledge, that Iran sponsors, pays for, is the money behind ISIS and other terrorist organizations,
right.
whether it's Hezbollah or Hamas, which controls just today. Israel was forced to defend itself again because bombs came in from Gaza, and Israel was forced to respond. But it's really interesting, the mainstream media, the way they handled that story, it was about four people being injured in Gaza. Again,
yeah.
Israel does not initiate these battles. It
no.
simply defends itself. I think it's absolutely insane, and I'll be interested to see where President Trump takes us with this. Millions of dollars, $90 million, I think it is a year, that is sent to the Palestinian Authority.
Yeah.
And what do they do with some of that money? They build houses for the families of suicide bombers.
Mm.
They reward the families of suicide bombers. They name streets after suicide bombers.
Mm-hmm.
They love their martyrs, as they call them. They love those people who go over and sneak into Israel and stab innocent Israel civilians, go on buses and blow them up. They honor those people in their schools in the Palestinian areas. They teach hatred against Israel. In
right.
fact, on their maps that their kids learn, Israel doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
And your taxpayers' dollars, folks, are still going to these individuals.
And one thing that the U.S. has been poor at, and this is just not under President Obama, this is under previous administrations also, is we send millions and millions and billions of dollars to these foreign countries with no strings attached.
Yeah.
If I'm personally sending millions of dollars to a country, I'm going to ask some things out of the country. And so I think this new administration should say, look, to the Palestinian Authority, if you're going to get $90 million or $90 billion, then here's what we want, X, Y, and Z out of this.
Exactly.
And if you refuse to abide by our rules and we're giving you the money, you know, then we're going to start cutting back.
Yeah.
And I think you'll get some response out of that.
You know, Ambassador Nikki Haley, towards the end of her address to the media there after that Security Council meeting, she said something interesting, and we heard it first from Prime Minister Netanyahu several months ago when he spoke to the UN, is that Israel's status in the Middle East is growing amongst some of these Muslim nations. And you say, well, wait a minute, that sounds like a contradiction to what you just said. But no, here's what's happening. Many of these Muslim nations, whether it's in South Africa or some of the surrounding areas, they are starting to get worried about Iran as well.
Mm-hmm.
They are certainly worried about their security with ISIS, which is growing in power in the Middle East. And they know, they recognize that Israel is the one that can help protect them
yeah.
from the nemesis called
Egypt.
ISIS.
Egypt has noticed that.
Especially.
Yeah.
So it's a new day. But pray for the peace of Israel. Pray that God will continue to protect her, and pray that this administration will continue to have the wisdom to keep supporting the nation of Israel. Fred Jackson, Walker Wildman, sitting in for the gang today. And Mr. Tim will be back in the chair tomorrow.
He will.
All right. Have yourself a great day. Keep listening to American Family Radio. Lots of great programming ahead. Bye for now.